All right, James chapter 4. Let's read verses 7 and 8. We're going to talk about tonight this that's given to us in the Word of God about submit to God and resist the devil. It's two different things. You can't submit to God and to the devil. And you can't resist the devil and God. But you can resist God and submit to the devil. Or you can submit to God and resist the devil. So we're going to talk about this and try to encourage each other here this morning about submitting to God and resisting the devil. Because that's what the Bible says here. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now that's what you want. That's a much better deal. The devil is poor company. He's a poor friend. He ain't no friend. He's an enemy. God is your friend. God's good company. Draw nigh to God. Resist the devil. Come on over to God's side. Be his friend. Be the enemy of the devil. He's the enemy of God. Don't be friends with God's enemies and his arch enemy, the devil. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. These are verses that are awful hard on Calvinists because they believe God does all that for you. And here you're clearly commanded to draw nigh to God and to cleanse your hands and to purify your hearts. And they're of the opinion that nobody can do that and we don't have anything to do with that. And if we try to do that, it's filthy rags. That's the modern gospel. Well, I believe James is part of the Word of God, and that's what he said, and I think that's what we ought to think about this morning. All right, bow with me. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Please bless it now as we look at this for just a few minutes, and I pray you'd help us to understand this, and I pray you'd help us to look at our own lives and see if there's a place in our life where we are doing the opposite of what we should be doing. Is there any place in our life where we're submitting to the devil instead of to God? Is there any place in our life where we're resisting God and therefore submitting to the devil? Comes together. And Lord, pray you'd help us to look at ourselves with an honest heart this morning and think about this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, most people do just exactly the opposite of what the verse just told us. They resist God and submit to the devil. Sounds kind of odd, don't it? But that's the truth, and you know it is. Yep. Wouldn't be so hard to have church if people didn't resist God. It wouldn't be so hard to fill the church pews if people didn't resist God. The reason the church pews are empty is because people resist God. And people submit to the devil because he's got everything in the world to do today. On the Lord's Day, besides sitting in a church pew and get preached to. There's a lot more allurement to the pleasures of sin out there today than there is to the rebuke of your sin. You know, people don't want to be rebuked and they don't want to be reminded of it and they don't want to have it pointed out. They'd rather just live it up. Man, this is a day to be at the creek, at the lake, by the pool. It's hot outside. No matter if the church is air conditioned, and by the way, that in back there is working this morning. Somehow, I guess the Lord healed that thing, at least for today. It hadn't worked in months, and now it's working. So, happens around here quite a bit. We've got them fixed several times without calling the man to work on them. They just start working again. But people resist God's threats of punishment while cowering before the devil when he threatens them with failure and abandonment. You know, the devil says nobody's going to like you and everybody's going to turn on you and your friends ain't going to have you and you're going to be made fun of and rejected. And so they just bow down to the devil, just submit to him and go ahead and do what they know they shouldn't do for the fear of being ostracized or thought evil of by other people. But it doesn't bother them to be thought about what they're going to feel like when they face God. Doesn't bother them or doesn't cause them to think anything about what God's feeling, thinking, desiring of them, and they're not giving him. They resist God's wooing while submitting to the devil's allurements. They resist God's promise of eternal rewards and eternal life and submit to the devil's promise of just feeling good right now, knowing that it's going to bring eternal death. They resist the plain written word of God and submit to worldly ideas and opinions that come right from the serpent's mouth. You know, why would people resist the truth? I don't know. I believe that everybody, there's something in them that recognizes the truth when they hear it plainly. But they resist it. They resist the truth because of their sin. And the sin is deceit. It's what the devil has lied to them and deceived them, and they've submitted to him. To submit is to do things the way someone else wants them done, instead of the way we want them done. Now that's what submission, in the sense that we're talking about here, at the Bible's talking about, that's what it means. To submit means you do it somebody else's way instead of your way. To submit to God means that in all that we do, we seek His will and an attempt to do what pleases God above what we think or feel or want. It's true obedience to do that. Nothing less than that is real obedience. We talk about children. We talk about wives, submit to your husbands. And then the Bible says submitting yourselves one to another. That's a part of life. If you get a job, you're going to have to submit or you ain't going to have a job long. If you get married, you're going to have to submit or you ain't going to be married very long. Everything in life is fixed that way. To submit means to do it somebody else's way instead of your way. Children ought to submit to their parents. They ought to do it the way their parents say, no matter what they think or feel. They're never going to agree completely when you're young because you don't understand. You don't know a lot of things yet. So you can't understand. And you have to go by faith in what somebody else understands that you don't and do what they say. That's obedience. Obedience is trying to please them in everything. Not just, it's more than just, yes, sir, no, sir, I'll do it. You say jump, how high? That's not real submission. Real submission is seeking to, well, I'll say it in a minute here, but to submit to God means that we lose our own will and His will becomes ours. Now, what is the verse we're talking about here? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, because he's going to work against you doing that. He's going to try to convince you with lies and deceit and the lure of lust and temptation to not submit to God. To resist God. He's going to try to get you to resist God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is a verse we quote often, but I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So you see, there's a heart and a life that is really submitted to God. It's not about Him, it's about God. I live, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And whatever's done with my life, it's Him, and it's to please Him. It's for Him to use me to accomplish His will, not for me to use Him to accomplish my will. I don't use God to get what I want. I don't demand of God that He follow me around and clean up my messes and protect me and guard me. I do His will. I seek to do His will. Submission is more than just taking orders. It's taking on the burden and the cares and the purposes and the goals of the one you're submitting to. This deal is not submit to God. It's not just about, yes, sir, God, what's next? What's the next order? What do you want me to do now? Okay, I've done that. Now what's next? No, that's So real submission is about taking on the burden, the cares, the purposes, the goals of the one you're submitting to. Having the mind of Christ. Thinking like He does. Looking at the world like He does. Having the same burden for people and for the problems and the sin of the world as He does. Looking at it through His eyes. That's submission. It's not just being a slave. We're not a slave. We're a son of God. And we ought to care about what He cares about. And it's a whole lot better and easier being in submission to God if you've got that kind of a mind. If you really care about what He cares about. Think of your relationship with somebody else. You know, your wife, your husband, children. I mean, don't it go much deeper when you think that way? When you care about, when you think a little farther about what's burdening them, what's in their mind, how their heart feels. I mean, what they're concerned about, what they give their life for and their strength and their money. I mean, when you get into that realm, in your relationship with somebody else, ain't that a lot more intimate relationship? Isn't that a lot closer relationship? If you live in your separate worlds and you care about what you care about and they care about what they care about and you never intersect, well, it's two separate lives. And there ain't much of a relationship there, really. Well, it's the same way with God. When you submit to God, it's not just doing the bare minimum. The unprofitable servant did what was his duty to do. That's it. He didn't go no farther than that. He did what he was assigned to do, and that's all he did. He didn't care about nothing else. He just did it because he had to. He didn't care about the welfare of the master that he worked for. It was just, you know, he just did what he had to do. He barely got by. He was like these guys that paint over the top of the dead animal in the road when they're painting the lines. You know, not my job, just paint it right over the top. Not move it out of the way. Go around it. You've seen them do that and that kind of stuff. That's the unprofitable servant. You can't serve God like that. Can't do that. Go, you an unprofitable servant. He ain't going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What happened to the unprofitable servant? They were cast out into outer darkness. That's what's going to be the end of them, the Bible tells us. So being in submission means having the same burden and cares and purposes and goals of the one you're submitting to. A good employee will be that way toward his employer. You know, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it up at the mill, Mike. We've all seen it everywhere. Everybody that's here that's ever worked anywhere, you see that. There's most people, well, they're not even an unprofitable servant. They just there to get a check and that's all. They want to do as little as they possibly can. Others will do what they're supposed to do. They'll do their job, but that's it. And then others are looking beyond all that and they're seeing, foreseeing problems and watching out for things so that we can keep this thing going. Because that's what the employer wants. He wants the thing to keep going. That's the only way he can make any profit and keep everything going is if it continues to run. I've been on jobs and stuff where people would break stuff on purpose to shut her down so we can sit down. Well, you won't have a job long when you do that because you're going to run everybody broke. A profitable servant's going to be on the lookout for things to make things work. He's looking out for the one he's in submission to. He cares about them. That's the thing, you know, about unions and stuff. And that's why that I've never been much for them because it sets it at odds. What the Bible says is supposed to be working together. Servants, you're supposed to submit to your master. You're supposed to care about his welfare, his livelihood. I mean, you're working for him, and it's your livelihood too. You're supposed to have that kind of a mind. He's not supposed to be your enemy. You're not supposed to separate and draw your guns on each other and say, if you don't give us this much, we're quitting. We're going to shut this thing down. That's ungodly and wrong. It's unbiblical. It's against the ways of God. So it's wrong. Amen. Those who submit to the devil are allowing him to control their lives. They may not realize it because they're concentrating on their own selfishness and they seem to be getting their own way. Y'all with me? I mean, this is how people think. They think, I'm doing what I want to do. I'm going to do it my way. I'm doing as I please and I'm doing what I think's right. But you're really not. You're being a pawn of the devil. You're allowing him to control your life because he is encouraging you to resist God and the ways of righteousness for your own self. And in the mean, for just a little while, you think that you're your own man, your own woman. You're calling the shots for yourself. But this is the devil's deception as he leads you into this snare of his to destroy your life and your soul. He'll let you think you're calling the shots. He'll let you think you're being the boss. That's what he told Eve. He said, you'll be his gods. That's what he tells you. You can be your own boss. It's your life. It ain't nobody's business. You can do as you please. If you think it's right, they ain't got no right to tell you it's wrong. That's what the devil tells you. So he lifts you up. He encourages you to be proud and to resist God. And you know what God does with the proud? He resists them. God resists you when you're proud. And the whole thing here is you're supposed to draw nigh to God, not get shoved back from him. And the devil's feeding your pride to get you to the point where God resists you. Now, the sinner don't realize it, but his will has become the same as the devil's will. And all he does is for the furtherance of Satan's kingdom. That's pretty shocking way of putting it, but that is exactly how it is. When you resist God, you are necessarily submitting to the devil. You can't resist God without you are submitting to the devil. It's not got the devil and God and you. You're being manipulated by the devil to resist God. And therefore, you're submitting to him. And so, therefore, whatever you're doing is for the furtherance of his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness rather than God's kingdom. And ain't that the truth? The sinner's influence, their example. You know, everybody thinks sin is spread through blood and stuff. No, it's not. It's spread through example and influence. And that's exactly the poison. That's what it does. That's how you're encouraging and building the kingdom of Satan, is by your resisting God and submitting to the devil. You're on his side. You have his mind. You have his goals. You have his cares. The devil's, not God's. It's about the whole thing of the devil is to resist God. He set himself against God. He's exalted himself and said, I'll be like the Most High and I'll exalt my throne above the heavens. He aims to dethrone God and make himself the ruler of the universe. And you're taking up and you're wearing his uniform. You're wearing his name. To resist the devil is to oppose him at every turn. Now, you know, to resist him means that you have taken up arms against him. You're not on the defensive, you're on the offensive. What kind of soldier is it that just runs from one rock to another hiding from the devil and being chased by him? That ain't no kind of a Christian. What in the world? That ain't the way the Bible paints the picture of a Christian at all. Running and hiding from the devil? No, the Bible language is very clear. Resist the devil. Resist him. Submit to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. That's our verse. That's what we read. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. This is all about the armor of God. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Is it my strength, my intellect, my knowledge, my own determination? Is that how I resist the devil? Nope. put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to resist the wiles of the devil. Stand against the wiles of the devil. We should never agree with the devil. We should never find ourselves on the same side of an issue as him. This is something real simple, but it's real important, and it's a basic thing about spiritual life. Now, I see people all the time. They're taking the devil's part. You're on the wrong side of this issue. I mean, all right, I know this gets hit a lot, but just like the abortion issue. Now, how in God's dear name can anybody say or think or in any way imagine that they are submitting to God, but they're for abortion? No. There is no way. Anybody who is for abortion is on the side of Satan. He is a murderer. And they're murdering people. Yes. They're murdering little babies with a beating heart. They're murdering them. Yes. And then you got all these people that say, well, they understand it and they're for it and they're pro-choice and all of this. No, they're not right with God. They are on the devil's side of that issue. Well, now there's a lot of other issues, just the little issues of life and the drama that goes on between people and everything. You need to always choose your side according to this right here. Which side's the devil on? Well, I'm on the other side. And the devil ain't never going to be on the side of right. He's always going to be on the side of lies and deceit. That's his marker. He's a liar. Jesus nailed him with that. He said he's been a liar. He's the father of lies. Been that way since the beginning. He's a murderer, Jesus said. Anybody that's like that, you better side against them and with God. You better take the side of life always. Better take the side of truth always. No matter who it is. If it's your son, if it's your daughter, if it's your wife, if it's your husband, if it's some other supposed Christian, it doesn't matter who it is. You better take the side that God's on. You better, and a lot of times it's a lot easier just to figure out which side the devil's on and get on the opposite side. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the truth's a lot harder to find than the lies. That's the way it is. I see people all the time, it's always bothered me, when they take the wrong side. They sympathize with the transgressor. They take up for them. Against God, against right, against God's people, against the Word of God. Plainly, they side with the transgressor. You're on the devil's side. You're submitting to the devil. You are resisting God. You're not submitting to God. That ain't love. You say, well, I just love them so much and that's why I'm so sympathetic. No, that ain't it at all. No, sir. That ain't it. You're just not doing what is right. If you want any hope for people and for things to get done right, we've all got family that just will not do right and they will not turn from their sin and the devil's got them in his clutches. And as long as we side with them against God, the devil's going to get them. They're going to burn in hell forever. You hear me?
Yes, sir. It's true.
Until we get on God's side, till we submit to God and resist the devil, there's no hope for their soul. And we've got to be open with that. I mean, it's got to be a real and a public thing that we take God's part. We should never agree with the devil. And we ought to never find ourselves on the same side of the issue as him. And that requires some diligence because the devil's so good at deceiving us into thinking like he does. You know, it's real possible for you to believe that you are right when you are dead wrong. You've experienced that, haven't you, in your life? Thought you was right. Turned out you wasn't right. So you better be careful. It requires diligence to stay on the right side. We should always actively stand against the devil. Now it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand against them. Stand against them before they get you. The fiery darts of the devil. You got a shield of faith. It ought to keep you from getting hit with them. It's not a cure for you after you get hit. You're not at the mercy of the devil. If you resist him, he must flee. Just simply resist him. Say no. Get thee behind me, Satan. Resist him. He'll flee. Now the Bible says that. That's what our text verse here says. So we ought to always actively be against him. Never just sit idly by while he works his way right before us. You know, offense, defense. The best defense is a what? A strong offense. You get them before they get you. Well, it works that way with the devil too. Nobody's preempting things anymore. We're not resisting him because we're just trying to defend ourselves and hold what ground we got, and that ain't working. It's time to go on the offensive. It's time to really actively resist the devil. What are you talking about? Throwing things out of your life where he's got a place, where you've made a place for him. We're not to give place to the devil. Give him a voice in our life. You know what I'm talking about? We got all kinds of things nowadays. I mean, it used to be TV and all of this. Before that, it was radio. But we've got music and we've got internet and we've got everything now that's just a constant window in. If we're going to resist the devil, we're going to have to close some of them doors. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. He says this to us. He says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, he is our adversary, our enemy. He's the one who is working against us. That's an adversary. He's actively working against us. He ain't just standing by and waiting for the world system and our sin to destroy us. He's working on it, boy. He's actively involved in it. He has a plan to destroy you. Do you have any kind of a plan? Do you have any kind of an interest or action on your part to do anything about it? To keep him from doing it? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Who are you supposed to resist there? The devil. There it is again. Resist him. It's talking about resisting the devil. Steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So we're to resist the devil. And we're to be vigilant about it. We should never flee from him. But always resist him and watch him flee. That's right. I've heard people brag on the devil, how wise he is and clever and powerful he is, and people fear the devil. And Jesus said, you ain't supposed to fear him. You're not supposed to be afraid of the devil. You draw nigh to God and resist him, you're good. God will protect you. The armor of God will make you able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You can't do it on your own. You can't stand out and say, well, I'm resisting God, but I'm going to resist the devil. I ain't going to submit to God because I ain't going to do just what he wants me to. I'm holding out on him, but I'm going to resist the devil. No, you're not going to make it that way. He'll make hash of you, of your life and your soul. But you draw nigh to God and you resist the devil and you'll find that you don't have to flee from him. We should always, and that's what most Christians, you know, this separation thing of the Baptists all these years, that's mostly what it is. It's fleeing from the devil. I mean, they've turned it into that. I believe in separation. I believe you ought to stay away from all that stuff. That gives the devil an opportunity into your... But look at here. We live in this world, and you can't turn your head without sin. And everything you can see on the internet, you can see it walking down the street. You can see it in the house next door to you. I mean, it's everywhere. And there ain't no place to flee. So the only thing to do is resist. Yeah. Learn to resist it. Learn to put on the full armor of God and resist the devil. And don't be running around trying to find a place to hide from him. And you know, a lot of people have that mentality, this idea of isolation, isolationism. Christians that, you know, I had a guy one time years ago tell me, he said, we need to just move to Colorado and build us, get us some land, build a big high fence around it, and just all of us get in there and just stay. Well, no, that ain't going to work. You'll find that people that do that, they'll still lose their kids to the devil. They'll still have all kinds of iniquity going on inside the fence. You can't do that. You can't escape from the devil by hiding somewhere. And his influence. This is a spiritual battle. You know, I say that often, but it's not flesh and blood. That's not where the problem's at. We should always work against him and be careful to never do anything that'll help him or help his cause or make it easier for him to win a battle or influence a person or to get any advantage. Would you just be careful not to help the devil? Would you be careful not to say something, do something, go somewhere, let other people hear or see something out of you that would help the devil to get an advantage of them? If we would walk circumspectly and not as others, we would be resisting the devil in that alone. See? Don't help him. I mean, the least you can do is just not help him. Not do something that'll cause him to win a battle somewhere in somebody's life. Not give him a chance to have a place, an open door into somebody's life. We're not ignorant of his devices. So we're thinking ahead and watching for his deceitful tricks and lies. And we're ready for him before he makes his move. Now that's the way this battle's supposed to be fought. Not just defending. Not just dodging his arrows. You ain't going to win just dodging the bullets that he shoots at you. You're going to have to shoot back. And you're going to have to be watching for him before he can get his aim on you. Resist the devil. That's what this is about. Resisting the devil is more than just, boy, if people are resisting God, they sure do it that way, don't they? If they see somebody from the church coming, they'll shut the door and pull down the shades and turn out all the lights before they can get there to say anything to them. If they see you in the store, they'll take the other aisle to avoid you if they know you're going to try to get them to come to church or something like that. Won't they? Yes, they will. People resist God, they'll avoid any contact, any manner of words. But that's why people say, I don't want to hear about that. Don't talk to me about that stuff. Boy, they're resisting. They're stopping it before it gets a chance. They're not going to let you corner them and start questioning them and making them feel bad about it. But when it comes to the devil, people that say they're Christians, most of the time they don't fight the battle that way. They're just nosing along like an old possum or something with his nose to the ground and ain't a-looking at all. They're not a-looking forward, not looking around them. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. He will flee. That means he'll go away and quit bothering you for as long as you resist him. People say, the devil, he's working in against me. He's causing me all kinds of trouble. Well, are you resisting him? I mean, how in the world can he be causing you so much trouble if you're resisting him? Because the Bible says if you resist him, he'll flee from you. Want to get rid of the problems of your life? How about starting with resisting the devil? Look out ahead a little bit, and you can see him coming. I mean, if you knew that there was some killer on the loose, like y'all live out there, you know, and you can see quite a ways across the field from where you live, Would you just sit in the house with the shades pulled, and if you knew he was right around there somewhere, or would you be looking out the window so you could see him before he got to your front door kicking it down? Well, I believe I'd be looking out the window. Saying, I'm going to get the drop on him. He ain't going to get the drop on me. But when it comes to the devil, we'll just fool around in his territory and lollygag around till he slaps us upside the head. Or shoots us down. Draw nigh to God, it says on the last part of the verse there, and he will draw nigh to you. God is more than willing to be close to you and to have you close to him. Now that's the thing you ought to get from this little phrase right here, this sentence. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. He won't resist you. If you're trying to draw nigh to God, he's not going to run from you. He's going to be to you just like he was the prodigal's father was to him. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran to meet him. I mean, that's the way God is. Yes, you just take a step toward God, and he'll take a step toward you. He'll take two steps toward you. You draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And that comes right after resisting the devil. Resisting the devil is taking a step toward God, let me tell you. And what does that mean? God's going to draw right up nigh to you. If you'll resist his enemy, he'll draw nigh to you. Ain't that kind of how you do with people, too? I mean, you got somebody, if they're a friend of your enemy, you kind of step back from a little bit, don't you? You step back from them and say, what in the world? Supposed to be my friend and you're aiding my enemy? You're sympathizing with the one who hates me, who wants to destroy me? It bothers me. I really don't think you're my friend if you're a friend of somebody who hates me. And I would think the same way about you. If you're my friend and I love you, I'm not going to think too well of somebody who's out to destroy you and who hates you. It only takes our resisting the devil and drawing nigh to God to have God's presence in our life. It just takes our resisting the devil and drawing nigh to God. And you got God's presence in your life. If we're not resisting the devil, we're working for him. And we can't be close to God. I just keep stressing it over and over. It can't be both ways. I mean, if you resist the devil, you're going to draw nigh to God. But if you won't resist the devil, if you're not resisting him, and I mean actively fighting against him, actively looking out the window, seeing where he's at before he comes and knocks you in the head, or knocks one of your kids in the head. I mean, if you ain't looking out, then you're not drawing nigh to God. And you're on the side of the devil. So, to draw means to pull along or to move forward by force applied in advance of the thing moved. Now, you know the difference between pushing and pulling. Draw means pull. It don't mean push. It's opposite. You see? You draw water out of a well with a bucket. Now, we've got a pump in the bottom of our well, and it pushes the water out of the well. That water's not drawn out of the well. It's pushed out of the well. But the word here he's using, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. Now, are you listening? Do you get it? God ain't going to drag you to himself. He allures you. He said he would. I'll allure them. I'll allure her, he said. In spite of what the Calvinist view of the Bible has, the Bible says here that we are to draw nigh to God. We are to draw nigh to God. Not that God has to do it for us. It doesn't tell us here to sit still and God will draw you nigh. No, that ain't the way it works. The command here is for you and I to draw ourselves near to God. Draw near to God. Draw nigh to God. And so we do have that responsibility. I mean, you can sit and wait, sit still, and do nothing, and you'll die separated from God. You have to draw nigh to God. And I know that's this. The Calvinists have taken over the whole message of the gospel nowadays till they've removed all responsibility. You don't repent, God does it for you. You don't even believe, God does it for you. You don't obey, God does it for you. You don't do nothing, you're just a passive observer. Well, they're heretics, yes, and wrong. Yes. The Bible tells us right here very plainly, does it say God will draw nigh to you? If you don't do nothing, God will draw you nigh to Himself. Is that what it says? No, it says draw. It's pointing at you and at me, and the Bible is commanding you, draw yourself nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Draw. Now, in spite, you know, here's the thing. Because of the infirmity of the flesh, you have to pull yourself up to God in order to draw nigh. It takes some decision making, some determination to do what's right. You have to make a choice. That's what it all comes down to. You know, the different extremes of theology, you know, the Calvinism, all the way to the Antinomianism, you know, one is one extreme, one's the other. The Calvinists say God does it all, you don't do nothing. The other extreme says we do it all, God don't do nothing. No, that's not the way it is. God initiates the relationship. God does speak to us first. He does draw us first. He does allure us first, while the devil's enticing us away. But you have to make up your mind. How can anybody believe anything any different? There was a time I decided I was going to start going to church and listening. I'm going to start trying to find out. I'm going to try to learn and get some answers on all this. I had to do that. If I'd have sat and just continued on my way, submitted to the devil and resisting God, I would be gone, long gone by now. But I made up my mind, this is going to change. I'm going to draw nigh to God. I'm going to start resisting the devil. And I'm going to find some answers and some help. And see if I can understand that. Well, guess what? That's what happened. I started getting some understanding. But I had to pull myself. You think it just come naturally? You think that there was never any resistance to just stop and give it up? No, I had to make up my mind. I had to go to church a lot of times when I didn't want to go. Didn't feel like going. Didn't have no desire, but I went anyway. I've had to do that through the years. Have you ever had to do that? It always pays off. Much of you and the baggage you carry won't want to come along if you decide to draw nigh to God. Come to church and read and fill your mind with thoughts and precepts of God through His Word. Start learning, but you got to come to the place where you can learn. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. If you're going to learn anything that's right, you're going to learn it in church. You ain't going to learn it from the TV and the internet preachers and all of that. What a mercy. Associate yourself with the true people of God and separate yourself from worldly, pleasure-seeking people who don't care anything about God. If you're going to resist the devil, you're going to have to start right there. You're going to have to separate yourself from ungodly people and associate yourself with godly people. You're going to have to disassociate yourself with your worldly sources of wisdom and understanding and opinions, and associate yourself with godly sources of opinions and wisdom and understanding and knowledge. The closer you get to God, the less the cares of life and the lust of the flesh will mean to you. The closer you get to God, the easier it'll be to resist the devil. Amen. Therefore, the easier it'll be to resist the devil and submit to God. The closer you get to Him, the easier it is to submit to Him. It ain't such a battle when you get close to God to submit to Him. As you get to know him better, and you get to see him and understand him better, your arguments and your, that whatever's in you to resist him kind of just evaporates. You want to submit to him. You want to do his will. You want to understand what he wants and do it. You care about what he cares about. You get the mind of Christ when you start getting around him. And you know, that shouldn't be so hard to understand, because it works the same way with people. The better you get to know somebody and their heart and what they really are and what they're about, the more you take on their same feelings and desires. And that's right, ain't it? Think about that. Here's the final word on this battle when it's finally over. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him, that is the devil. That's who it's talking about in Revelation chapter 12. There it says it very plainly, that old serpent, the devil, when he was cast out. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. He lost. He loses. Resist him now. You know, a lot of people in the world think he's winning. He's got the high places of this world, and all of his little imps and human helpers, they've got it too. They've got the high places. But he's coming down. He is going to lose. You better get on the right side. Resist the devil. He's going to lose. You're on a losing team. You're on a losing side. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God. So, amen. I believe that's the way it is here this morning. I believe that's very helpful if you just listen and think about it. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. And there's where you'll find life instead of death. You'll find life worth living. You'll find peace. You'll find safety and security and all the things that all the world's seeking after with all they've got. And you can have it just by resisting the devil and drawing nigh to God. Make sure you're not resisting God and that you're aiding the devil. Make sure you're not doing that. You're doing that in any part of your life. You know, it's going to be bad when we stand before God in the judgment and it's all revealed and we find out that we've actually been pushing people off into hell rather than trying to save them, trying to hold on to them and keep them out of it. We've actually, with our foolish opinions and our prejudices and our selfish notions, that we've actually... I mean, think of the fathers and the mothers that are going to be weeping because they sent their children to hell. That's right. With their lack of understanding and their abundance of selfishness. And they didn't resist the devil. They helped him. They helped the devil send their children to hell. Boy, I'd get that right. If I thought I had anything like that in me, I'd sure be begging God to help me. Amen. All right, well, stand with me. Stand with me and we'll have a word of prayer. And Father, thank you again for the truth of the Word of God. Lord, I pray you'd bless this morning. I know more will hear it than the ones that's heard it there here in the last few minutes here. I pray that it would be a help to somebody. Pray you'd help us all to take it to heart and to examine ourselves. And Lord, help me to never do one single thing that'll help the devil. Lord, I abhor that. I want to hinder him, and I want to make it hard for him. I don't want to make it easy. So Lord, help me to have understanding enough and an honest heart enough to realize that and to correct it in my life. Help us, Lord, each one to draw nigh to you today and to resist the devil. In Jesus' name, amen.